get me a cough drop here for a moment as age catches up with me. I have to do things a little different than I used to have to. I never took a drink of water in the pulpit until I was probably 75.
Well,
and so now I'll be 80 in April, and things have changed a little bit. My dentist says I'm outgrowing my teeth and so forth. But outliving my teeth, I should say. Well, it's a great joy to be here and be in Great Falls again. And with your pastor and our friends here in this church, you know, we send out our prayer letters and so forth, try to do that monthly. And as we send those prayer letters out and make those contacts, we do our best to remember each one of those churches in prayer. You know, prayer does change things. And but one of the things we do have to remember about prayer is it doesn't change God. You know, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is has given us leadership. Amen. And this book, of course, and the Spirit of God, you know, John's Gospel, the Holy Spirit is described. Described as the Spirit of truth, and this book is truth. And so, when we incorporate this book, then we incorporate the truth. So, think about that. And as we come, of course, as Pastor said, I represent the Baptist Circuit Riding Mission, but I represent first the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. I'm glad to have been baptized in a good, solid, independent Baptist church. And shortly after I was saved, I was in church on Wednesday night, and Brother Craven used a text in his sermon that had baptized in it. As well as listening to the service, the whole rest of the service, I did chain references on the word baptized. The invitation was given. God had moved upon my heart, and I went forward. And I took that big old preacher's hand and I looked up in his face and I said, Brother Craven, I want to join this church and I want you to baptize me into the membership of this church. And did not have a lot of counsel and so forth at that time. So I was green in spiritual things, but God had spoken to my heart. And the Lord is without respecter of persons. He can speak to anyone that is here and that is out there. I like what my pastor says, Pastor Gray at Heritage Baptist Church in Great Bend, Kansas. Pastor Gray says, you know, we're not any better than all of those that are sitting in front of the TV across the street and in the highways and byways of Great Bend, Kansas. No, we're not a bit better than they are. We once were where they are. But we're better off. And so the drive for us and the motivation for us is to encourage them to come over on our side and to be where, because we sure don't want to go back over there, do we? And so God works. The Baptist Circuit Riding Mission is an arm or a ministry of Faith Bible Baptist Church in Greeley, Colorado, under leadership of Pastor Walters. As we travel across, and when we are in churches like we are tonight, I am first of all under the discipline of my sending church and Pastor Gray, Heritage Baptist Church in Great Bend. I am under the discipline Faith Bible Baptist Church and Pastor Walters in Greeley, Colorado. And I am under the discipline of this church as long as I'm in the presence of this church. And so, and of course I'm under the discipline of the Lord. And we rejoice in that. You know, that's a good thing. We'll be saying possibly a little bit more about that later on. We work right now, currently, we would like to expand. We'd like to have more circuit riders. We'd like to have more volunteers. We'd like to have more funds and all of those things so we could do more. But currently, we're working in 11 of the 17 western states in the United States. And so pray with us about expansion. Pray with us about workers. Pray that possibly God might be able to use you one way or another, young or old. You know, I'll be 80 in April, and God's still using me, and I can still get out there and knock doors and take the John and Romans out, you know, and hand out tracts. And, you know, if you, if somehow you've lost your tongue, you know, and you just can't talk at all. Now, I don't believe that, but, you know, you can still hand out tracts. You can still be the partner of someone else. I was partnered with your pastor yesterday as we were doing bus visitation. I enjoyed that. He was talking to one. I was talking, what, about 8 or 9 or 10 or something. Kids all around me in the hallway there as pastor ministered. You know, so there's all kinds of things. At different times we can even use cooks and so forth. So if you want to take a vacation or whatever, you have some freedom that God has given you, and God moves on your heart to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, let us know, and we'll try and do our best to get you involved one way or another. And as we've talked with your pastor and others, you know, we need, young folks, we need more preachers. We need more preachers' wives. We need more churches. And so we do trust that you'll pray about the leadership of the Lord in those things. And we do appreciate those dear friends that we have that are in the midst of this church. Some of you have been praying for us for years, and we really do appreciate that. Now, what do we do when we're out, other than just like we are here on this trip, raising funds and so forth, and raising awareness and raising workers? Through the summer is our most active time. It's not that we are only active in the summer, but it is, of course, our most active time. And we hold some Bible schools. And a lot of times we'll hold Bible schools and we'll visit all afternoon, hand out John and Romans and so forth. And we do try and visit as many rural homes as possible. 1 week, I kept track last summer, and as well as doing quite a bit of work that in small communities, you know, some of them only having 200 or 300 people in that community, we covered that with. We had quite a bit of volunteers, or quite a few volunteers that year, that week. But beside that, I was at the front door of 75 rural homes, personally. Now, how many other rural homes were covered that week, I don't know. But in 1 week, I got 75. We passed out several thousand John and Romans last summer. I do not know exactly how many. But those of you that have gone by the table, you've seen that we have these John and Romans. 2 years ago, we had 20,000 of these printed up. Next year, I feel like we're going to have some more printed up. I think we've got enough to get through this year. I received a telephone call just before church tonight up here in the prophet's chamber. A lady from Fountain, Colorado called me, and she took, I do not know how many, she didn't take a whole case of these, but she took a number of these and some of the other booklets that we had, and we're talking about Fountain, Colorado. She said that she doesn't know how to send it to me, so she's going to have to wait to send it to me, but she has a picture that has been sent on her to her on her phone of kids in Florida that have the John and Romans that she got a week ago now, a little over a week ago, in Fountain, Colorado. She sent those, or somehow they got to Florida, and they're in a children's home down there of destitute people that are homeless or whatever, and they handed these John and Romans out, and she has a picture of the children reading those John and Romans she's going to send to me. The week that we spent, third week of June last year, as we were in the Lyons, Nebraska area, I was with a pastor there, and one of the days he brought two van loads from his church to help us with distribution and witnessing and so forth. He gave testimony of a packet of tracts and information from his church that a young man had picked up alongside the railroad track. He had no idea how long those tracks had been there or how they got there. But this young man picked up that little plastic packet of tracks, took it home, went in, took them into his bedroom, read the tracks, received Christ as his Savior as a result of those tracks, brought the tracks out of his bedroom into the kitchen, and the whole family got saved. And they started immediately coming to church, got extended two of their relatives' related families, got them in church. The original family is still in church. The two other families, because of employment and so forth, have moved away, but they're involved in other churches, and they still has that one family there in church. God really can work and do a mighty work. His word is all powerful. And we rejoice in that fact. Well, is there any questions that we might have about what we do? I use horses sometimes in the ministry, but with limitations because of the cost of transportation. But I still do have horses. I ride most places in a four-wheel horse like we have here today. Okay?
Forgive me if this was asked already because I got in a little late. But are you familiar with or do you know Len Crow, who was here at our church before?
I know the name. I have never met him. And I would like to, but I've never met him. Sorry. Any other questions? Okay. You know, we are here for the gospel and because of the gospel and not because of BCRM or Wayne Stark. Turn to Acts chapter 1. And let's see what the Lord has to say to us tonight in the power of the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are involved in church work. We are involved in church fellowship. As I spoke this morning at Triumph, you know, it's a young church, only 2 years old. This church is a lot older than that. How old are you, preacher?
36.
My church in Great Bend is 13 years old. But as the Lord tarries His coming, you know, 13 or 36, that's just the beginning, isn't it? You know, I preached in Payette, Idaho. Pastor McComb recently passed away there. It went down real fast with cancer. And as I preached to those folks to try and encourage them, you know, I dealt with the passing of Moses at the end of Deuteronomy, the last chapter, and the first chapter of Joshua. Now, when Moses passed off of the scene, God didn't change. When Joshua came on the scene, God renewed every promise that He had given Moses under the hand of Joshua. Now, as we think about that, has Israel ever claimed all of the land that God promised to them? Never has, have it? Okay. Those things are for our learning, aren't they, in the Old Testament? Have we as a church ever claimed everything that God has promised to us? No. And God help us to continually progress. You know, God doesn't reach down and touch our lives to bring us backward, but yet to take us forward and to lift us up, doesn't He? And God stir our heart. You know, as we come to the book of Acts and we look here, this is the beginning of church history. And as we look, we do not know time as it really is in the mind of God. And so, and we don't know the day nor the hour. We can find out about that right here in this chapter. So we may be still in the beginning. We're to pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But we still may be in the very beginning. And, you know, we are challenged to move forward for the Lord like everything depends upon us. And yet trust God like everything depends on Him, aren't we? And so we go, without tearing on anymore, into the Scripture. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible truths, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, They ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which your Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he spoke these, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Dear Lord, we ask now that you would truly anoint your word unto hearts and lives. Lord, that the power of thy word might be manifest tonight in a sweet and a wonderful and a powerful way. Lord, hide us behind the truth. Hide us, bury us, Lord, in the revelation of Jesus Christ and the free sacrifice for sins on Calvary's cross. Burden hearts, guide in truth. Anoint, Lord, according to thy will, and choose unto thy victory. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Of the former treatise. Now, why didn't he say here writings or something like this? Many of the words that could have been chosen. Because in that word treatise is embedded the idea of truth. Absolute truth. You know, truth is an absolute. There's no question, no variance in truth. You vary truth, it's a lie, isn't it? You know, somebody said, well, it's just a half-truth. A half-truth is a lie. You know. And so, it is truth. Of the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, you know, when we come to consider Jesus, who he was, what he was, and what he is, you know, today, it's not all was, is it? It's what he is today. You know, I best understood the glory of God when my son was born. You know, the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, doesn't it? The glory of God is in his son, Jesus Christ, just like my glory is in James Dwayne Stark. And I rejoice when I counted those five fingers, when I counted those five toes on each of his limbs, I rejoiced because my glory was there. And I believe with all of my heart, God the Father and God the Spirit are rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And I believe that you and I need to rejoice in Jesus Christ. Because he's the only hope we have. Of the former treatise, that is truth. All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. You know, he is more than an example, though he is an example. And he teaches us by example. And we also need to follow that pattern and teach by example. Our words mean little if the example we set by our life doesn't correspond with what we say. And God help us and move us unto that until the day, verse 2, which he was taken up after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments. One of the things that we need to look to every time we see in the Scriptures the word Holy Ghost. We need to be thinking of God's power. Because the Holy Ghost moves with power. And this is one of the reasons why there are those who say that they're filled with the Holy Ghost and speak gibberish, aren't there? I want to ask you, where is the power in gibberish? When God moves and men speak of the treatise that he has set before us, it is powerful, isn't it? But gibberish, it has nothing to compare with the truth of Scripture. And so, think about that. Now, he says here, in that same verse, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles. Commandments. Now, we see that word commandments, we so often think of the Ten Commandments, don't we? And so often, when we think of the Ten Commandments, we think that's like putting up a fence. That's like, you know, I have some Native American blood, as far as I know. And we don't like to be fenced in. You know, I like the Kansas State song, "Don't Fence Me In." You know, that's kind of ingrained. And most of the time, we see that word commandment, we think about that. Now, I don't want to be fenced in like that. But fences are there for our protection, just like a guardrail along the highway, aren't they? And so we need to realize that. We live along the highway. I have my horses and my dogs fenced in for their own protection. You know, I can't fence in a cat, and the result is we have a lot of flat cats. And so, but we think about that word. Something that goes along with the word commandment is the word kingdom. And as we think about the word commandment and the word kingdom, we need to realize that these words are there to manifest God's authority. Now, does God have the authority to rule?
Absolutely.
You know, He does, doesn't He? And we need, if we are in service, and those of you that have served, we really appreciate you.
Amen.
Had the privilege of spending 9 years in service myself. And, when we are in service and we are challenged in conflict, we are not just representing ourselves, are we? We're representing our nation. And that uniform and the action that we take is representing our nation and the authority and the power of that nation. And God, help us to acknowledge that. Well, when we see the word kingdom, that represents everything in that context that is relative to that, represents the authority of God. And I'll tell you, when all things are said and done, God's authority is going to rule over everyone that walks the face of this earth. And it's only when we find ourselves where He wants us to be that we find ourselves on the victory side. Well, commandments unto the apostles whom He has chosen. Well, we need to understand, a lot of times we don't even think about that, you know, as pertaining to us. But God chooses men out of every age and to do, or to hold responsibilities other than just apostleship. You feel like you're chosen for the responsibility that you maintain? Got some school teachers out, or Sunday school teachers and workers in the church and ushers and so forth. You feel like that God has chosen you to be in the place that you hold? Then there are those of you who do not hold any special place or label. You do not have a title in this church. God still has the authority and the right and the power to choose you to do something. He does not I have never met a Christian on this earth who God has chosen to do nothing. That's not the way our God works. There is something. We are to be what He wants us to be to His honor and to His glory. We are not too young, we are not too old, and we are not too much in the middle. We may have a little too much around the middle. Some of us really fight that, don't we? God help us. But, you know, the only plague I know of that Baptists have in our day and time is there's too many good cooks. Okay, God chooses men of every age. And verse 3, to whom He showed Himself alive after many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. There's that word kingdom. You know, truth and authority, as we look here, always have balance. Now, He was seen of them alive and manifest by many infallible truths. You know, and He spoke Mary's name in John chapter 20. He showed His hands and feet to doubting Thomas in John chapter 22. He joined the breakfast by the seaside in John chapter 21. He preached to Peter in John chapter 21. And all of these were in resurrection life.
Amen.
You know, as real flesh and blood. A ghost don't eat fish. A ghost can't say to Thomas, come, feel the wounds in my hand and in my side. You know, I have some question about whether those were scars or not. You know. They're wounds, aren't they? Wounds for you and me. He bore them that we might not have to bear them. And so, you know, we look to that. And then verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. Now, that word wait, you know, there are several words that I really take extra precaution to make sure they're highlighted in my Bible. One of them, especially, is wait. You know, God uses time to cure more problems in more lives than any other thing that we live with, as far as I know. You know, we get in more trouble getting ahead of God oftentimes than we do lagging behind, don't we? Now, we're not supposed to either lag behind or go ahead. God would that we'd rather be in step with Him, wouldn't He? And God help us to do that. But that word wait there is important. There's another three-letter word that I always highlight. And it says, now. Now. And you know, what we really need to live for in Christ is those times in the Bible where that now fits our life. And God is ready to do something now for us. He's ready to move us now. And so we rejoice in that. Concerning churches, you know, and we'll say a little bit more about that later. But I think last year when I was here, I talked about 1 Chronicles 29. Did anybody remember? Yeah. And the people responded as God is moving in the midst here for you all to respond in that this upcoming missions conference, as he tried to move in the revival that you had recently, that was a now time. You know, the people responded, and things thought precious to men, you know, and the jewels and the silver and the bronze and the iron and metal, and then all of the service. Folks, back in that day of Israel's experience, they responded to the plea and the challenge that David put, and they responded in such a way that they really developed a sense of value that God had on those things that were their possessions. And as they responded and gave, David got excited. And he praised God mightily, greater than he'd ever praised God before. And hallelujah, you know, that time. And God's still the same. We're still the same flesh and blood as the Jews had. We may or may not be closely related to them. But God is no respecter of persons, is He? We can go on over to chapter 9, I think it is here, and how Peter got his vision, and the result of that vision is God is no respecter of persons. And so God is not going to necessarily withhold Himself from choosing, directing, and molding you and I today. So God help us there. Wait for the promise of the Father, saith He, ye have heard of Me. You know, knowledge never forsakes patience. Now, if you want to act dumb, act impatiently. You know, most often. And so verse 9, for John baptized with water, and John's baptism was scriptural, wasn't it? Amen. As far as we know, John baptized all of the disciples. That was a good thing. Praise God. John baptized with water, and by the way, that made John the Baptist baptizing them made them Baptists, didn't it? Amen. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, we always need God's power. There is no one here today that doesn't need God's power. You know, no matter how strong, no matter how weak we are, we need God's power. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Ye shall be empowered by the Holy Ghost. Ye shall be moved by the Holy Ghost is the concept here. And when the Holy Ghost comes on, things happen, don't they? And things ought to happen to the glory of God, shouldn't they? You know, and we think, in this world today, we point to Washington, we point everywhere, and we see a lot of problems. We turn on the television or the radio or pick up the newspaper. It's just filled with good news, isn't it? No, not hardly. It's filled with bad news. Now, is it the fault of Washington that it is filled with bad news? Is it the fault of our local government that it is filled with bad news? It is our fault. Because we need to be surrendered to the Holy Ghost. Folks, as we look on, and we'll not have time to go there, maybe your pastor will, or maybe one of the teachers will, or whatever, later on. But can you imagine what it would be like if we went down in the town square in this city and preached the gospel and 3,000 souls got saved? But God did that, didn't He? And somehow God could do that. Now, I believe in this day and time, if he wanted 3,000 souls saved out of your 60-some thousand here, he would bring it to pass in at least three churches in town that I know of. And praise God, that's it. That's his plan. But would to God that suddenly this church would double in size. God's not short in his power. We are short so often in our activity. The scripture standard that is set before us is daily and from house to house. Now that surely must begin at the breakfast table, amen? And then it goes from the breakfast table to the workplace and to Walmart and to the school situation and whatever. You know, it's daily and from house to house. You know, and if we really get involved in this according to God's plan, very soon we have a real housing problem for Christians. And then we really come to understand what it is daily from house to house, because the carpet's being worn out as every day those doors out there are open and people are coming and going, and the preacher is out of breath 7 days a week from preaching from this pulpit all day long. Now that, you know, you say, preacher, you're going way out there. But that's the Bible standard, isn't it? And we need to be moved. Those early Christians were moved. As we move on, and I prepare to close, verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, excuse me, every now and then the smallest piece of lint catches me. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Now, they ask, and we should ask. And they ask, wilt thou? And he answered and said unto them, it's not for you to know. You know, we have a limited understanding that God does not have. And that is where faith really becomes the most active. Now, I was listening to this past week to several radio programs that had to do with science as I drove and traveled and so forth. You know, and those scientists, several times on those programs, they talked about a molecule or some other effect of science over here, and then the molecules or and of course, not every program that I listened to was the same. Wasn't always molecules. But there's an effect over here, and there's an effect over here. And there is an assumption that if those two things they can prove, then there's something in the middle that they can't prove, but they assume it's so because of the two things that they can prove. God help us. You know, when we find the truth in the Word of God, we stand upon that truth. We may not be able to fully understand it, but we know God does. And it's like the day of His coming and when He's going to set up that final kingdom. It's not for us to know when, but we know it's going to come, don't we? And that's the thing. And we leave that to Him. That is what faith is. And faith is just as real as water and air, and just as real as the fact is that 2 and 2 is 4. And it will, 2 and 2 will never be four, never not be four. I don't know of anyone here in this congregation tonight that'll do business with a banker that says 2 and 2 is 3. Because truth is an absolute, and God's Word is an absolute, and the fact of Christ's coming is an absolute. We do not need to know the day nor the hour to know that it's going to happen. Because He's promised us, it is as sure as you hold this book in your hand. Because this book, its very existence in our day and time, proves our God and proves our faith. If you could not have a King James Bible tonight, then our God would not be God at all. But the fact that we have it proves that God is God. God must close. He said in them, not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. Now understand here, knowledge is power, isn't it? Especially when it's God's knowledge that He has, and that He literally is. God is love, but He's also knowledge. He's omniscient. He knows all things, and in Him all things exist. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Notice the Scripture connects power and the Holy Ghost. It's like I said earlier. Is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, as we come to the close here of this, now, we know when we are born again, God becomes our Father. We become in the family of God, don't we? We are born again into the family. We are also adopted into the family. You know, we wear a double badge of identification with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ because of Calvary. When we are born again and we accept the command of God, we accept the authority of God, then that places us in a kingdom of God, or the kingdom of God. Because a kingdom is defined as a place with a sovereign ruler. Now those who are new Christians and so forth, still on the milk of the Word, maybe the authority of God is not in their life. And they're in the family, but not in the kingdom. Because we have to be, you know, if we are a U.S. citizen, we're supposed to obey our laws, aren't we? And God forbid that we would get the mindset that some within our borders have, that they don't have to obey the authority of our nation. That's a problem. And when our heart is changed, then our surrender to authority is changed as far as God is concerned. And then there's the church of God, isn't it? And so as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we accept His rulership, and he says, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, doesn't He? And the church is to be God's army in the world today. And so as we are baptized, we join God's army, and we begin to move, whether we're just involved in the local church, whether we're involved in ministry of the local church, or whether we're involved in something like the circuit riders, or going out both on the home and the foreign mission field, but we serve the Lord Jesus Christ as a private, a corporal, a sergeant, and on up, however it might work in God's army according to his calling. And he says here in that verse, Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, most of the time that verse is used to talk about going soul winning. Appreciate the fact that y'all have soul winning on Saturday morning. But it should be all week, all day, all week, throughout, shouldn't it? 365 days a year. Now, the special times are good, but we need to be conscious of the responsibility always. But basically, this verse is given to the church at Jerusalem. And just a plain, clear translation of it is this. Go out and start churches. Because I'm not satisfied with all of those out there who have not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's direction to us all, always, is to work through the church and a church that identifies itself with the gospel that we have present here in our midst today. I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up. But he says, go ye. I'm sorry. He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This is in direct reference, of course, to the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. But it's not only. It's more of a universal application. It's not only on the day of Pentecost. And any time we witness, as we were visiting yesterday, and I was praying for Pastor as he dealt with this young lady that we were to whose home we were visiting, I prayed that the Holy Ghost power would come upon him, you know, because and upon her also. You know, and though, you know, it was a time to manifest patience. And that victory is not going to be won suddenly. Just like that wait is here in this scripture that we read. But that young lady became broken in her human spirit before we left. A lot more work needs to be done. But that human spirit was broken. And that is the power of the Holy Ghost of God. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ after reading the scripture, and I was in that dairy barn that day. And, you know, we never ceased our chores. All of my life until chores were done. And I could wait no longer. And I still had at least a dozen cows in that holding pen. And had the Bible laying there on the side of the stall that I'd been catching a verse at a time between the cows. And I got under such deep conviction that I run all the cows out of the barn that were in there. And I shut the milker off. I shut down everything in that barn except the lights and the milk cooler. And I had that Bible in my hand.
And I went in the milk room, and I got on my face before God, and I begged Him to save my soul. Now, not every experience is like mine. But every spirit, every human spirit has to be broken. And after I surrendered to baptism and continued in the Word of God, God began to move on my heart. I really believe that there were a lot of my neighbors that thought, something has really happened to that guy. He's just altogether not the same. You know, we talk about speaking in tongues. You know what is manifest in, and you can search this out in the scriptures. I'll give you this, and then I think I better close. But there's one word that is really not in the text, but is manifest over and over again as you do word studies in the text about tongues. And that is the word spelled C-H-A-N-G-E, change. You know, when those old fishermen began to speak in tongues instead of telling dirty stories and using the vulgarest of language, the Scripture says that they began to praise God. Now, I don't know whether they were quoting Psalms or chanting some Jewish thing that they'd heard as they walked the streets. But I believe they were speaking most of the time, not always. Day of Pentecost gives testimony of that. Not always were they speaking their native tongue, but they were speaking to the glory of God instead of speaking vulgarity. That's a change. And God can change the vilest heart. He can change even the best heart and make it better. He can choose. You know, I speak often anymore from the book of Romans. And Paul was chosen to write the book of Romans. What qualified Paul to write the book of Romans? Was it the fact that he'd kill Christians? Was it the fact that he knew a lot of that vulgar language? Or was it the fact that God had changed his heart and brought him to speak as God would have him speak? The power of God came upon his heart, soul, and overwhelmed his body. And that's what we need today. We need it in this church. I need it in my heart and in my ministry. We need it in churches all over the United States and the world. And that's one of the reasons why that I'm traveling. My voice is about gone. I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor. I'm going to step down here at the front. And as the Lord leads, would you make the commitment? Would you receive the power? Would you let the Holy Spirit move you as you know He wants to move you today? Pastor, come.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the minister of the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray you bless him for what he's given us, Lord. And the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, that you would do a work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray there'd be anyone here tonight that are not saved, Lord God, but tonight would be the day that they would be saved. Others, Lord, that are convicted about not following you in believer's baptism, Lord, they do that. Others to join the church. Others to say, Lord, What would you have me to do? I'm willing to do anything you want me to do. I'll go any place you want me to go. Lord, speak to my heart now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to all stand. Pianist is playing. You're here tonight. God's speaking to your heart. You, somewhere, some way, God has just directed you. Let God speak to your heart tonight. Don't waste time with God. Amen. Just come. Say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or not. Boy, let's take care of that tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I need to follow the Lord and believers in baptism. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, we want to join the church. We want to serve God here. Why don't you come?